You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to the second of three podcasts on melanoma hosted by Med Learning Group, titled Updating Best Practices for Management of Advanced Melanoma, Considering Current and Emerging Anti-LAG-3 Combinations in the Veterans Affairs Setting. My name is Cindy Lampner, your host. In this episode, we'll be talking about the immunopathology of melanoma and its implications for treatment. Joining me again is Dr. Adil Daud, Professor of Medicine and Dermatology and Director of the Melanoma Project at the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Daud, thanks again for joining us.
I'm excited to join you again.
Dr. Daud, what is the role of lymphocyte activation gene 3, or LAG-3, both in normal physiology and in cancer?
So that's a great question. I think LAG-3 or lymphocyte activation gene 3 is basically ancestrally related to the protein CD4. And CD4, as you recall, is a protein that's present on the surface of helper T cells, not killer T cells, which have CD8, but helper T cells, which have CD4. And so what it's thought its function might be is a sensor for certain types of ligands that tell your T cell in some instances to shut off or to turn off. And we don't fully know what its ligands are in tumors and in the body. We know that one of its ligands is MHC class II, which is expressed on the presence of dendritic cells. It's present on the cells, in some cases, of tumor cells. And so what we think is that in cancer, it might be an inappropriate turn-off signal, and it might react to the presence, in addition to MHC class II, to certain types of carbohydrate antigens called lectins that are present in the liver, that are present in the spleen, it's present in the vasculature, or sometimes present on the surface of tumor cells. And the reason to inhibit LAG-3 is to prevent T cells from inappropriately turning off before they finish the job of killing a tumor. And that's how the checkpoint, data showing that LAG-3 is a checkpoint has evolved.
What makes LAG-3 an attractive target in melanoma?
I think one of the things that makes it an attractive target is a simple fact that it's present on a lot of tumor infiltrating T cells. There's a lot of data that the kind of TILs or tumor infiltrating lymphocytes that are present in melanoma tumors express, in addition to PD-1, express a lot of LAG-3. And I think that's the one requirement that's important. The other interesting thing about LAG-3 is that it doesn't seem to totally correlate with the presence of PD-1. So in other words, they can be tumors that are PD-L1 negative that express LAG-3, and vice versa. They could be tumors that are PD-L1 positive that express less LAG-3. And so you generally don't want to have a checkpoint that is completely overlapping with PD-1 if you're going to combine it with PD-1. So that way you can expect to see some more activation. And then another minor or major, depending on how you see it, advantage of LAG-3 is that it's also present in a kind of cell called a regulatory T cell or Treg cell. And Treg cells, remember, antagonize the effect of tumor killing or cytotoxic lymphocytes. So you can potentially get some effect of LAG-3 inhibition both on the cytotoxic lymphocytes, where it's a break, and on Treg cells, and basically inhibit regulatory T cells. So you could get that dual effectiveness through LAG-3 inhibition.
There are currently two anti-LAG-3 therapies for melanoma, relatlimab plus nivolumab, which is FDA approved for patients with unresectable or metastatic melanoma, and fianlimab plus cemiplimab, which is still in clinical development. How do these agents differ?
From what we can tell, they're quite similar to each other. And with the nivolumab-relatlimab combination, we now have a randomized phase 3 trial in addition to a phase 2 trial. So we have more data available for it. For the cemiplimab plus fianlimab combination, the data looks very promising, very high response rates in a phase 2 trial. But it's important to recall that these two trials are not done in the exact similar population. The relatlimab data basically comes from refractory melanoma. So in other words, melanoma that has already not responded to PD-1, while the fianlimab data in many cases comes from upfront clinical trials. And so there's a difference between those two, and the relatlimab data is somewhat more mature, so we just have more patients and more numbers to consider. But overall, I think in terms of the response rates, in terms of the toxicity profiles, they do seem pretty similar.
What is the rationale for combining anti-LAG-3 agents with PD-1 inhibitors?
I think there's several rationales. I think one of the important rationales is that we think that these two checkpoints are independent of each other, and you're getting benefit for LAG-3 inhibition despite having PD-1 inhibition on board. Or to restate it, you're not going to get the effect of combination LAG-3 PD-1 inhibition by just PD-1 inhibition alone in whatever schedule or dose or whatever combination you want to do. So you're not going to get the full benefit of this dual checkpoint with just maximizing PD-1 inhibition. And we know that because if you look at the, you know, KEYNOTE-006 trial, if you look at some of the previous trials, we know that increasing the dose of PD-1 does not result in greater response rates. There's a ceiling to that. And if you want to go beyond that ceiling, you probably have to take out different types of breaks on T cells. And we think that the LAG-3 inhibition gives you additional anti-tumor activity more so than you get just by PD-1 alone.
Can you give us a rundown of the results of the clinical trials that led to the approval of nivolumab plus relatlimab?
I think the biggest trial done was RELATIVITY-047, and that was the randomized trial that compared nivolumab by itself to nivolumab plus relatlimab. But I want to take a step back. But prior to doing that trial, there was a trial done of relatlimab plus nivolumab in the PD-1 refractory melanoma setting. And that trial was presented by Paolo Ascierto a few years ago and essentially showed that in the refractory PD-1 setting, you still got a response from LAG-3 plus PD-1 inhibition. And the response rate was about 11%. And in that trial, it did look like the biggest benefit was in patients who had LAG-3 overexpression, which is not surprising because you're inhibiting LAG-3. So that segues into the RELATIVITY-047 trial, where the randomization was for patients to get either LAG-3 plus nivolumab versus nivolumab alone. And several hundred patients were randomized. And what we saw in that, in RELATIVITY-047, was that the response rate went up from 33% for nivolumab alone to 43% for nivolumab plus relatlimab. And the progression-free survival very significantly went up from 4.6 months to 10.2 months, so more than doubled. And overall survival, I think we are waiting for mature data on that, but also seemed to trend towards an increase. I think the biggest, the primary endpoint was progression-free survival, and that was statistically significant and showed an increase from 4.6 to 10.12 months. And this is with 355 patients in each arm of this trial.
How did the adverse effects of nivolumab plus relatlimab compare to those seen in other immunotherapies for melanoma?
So the adverse event profile is relatively easy with in the combination of relatlimab plus nivolumab. If you remember, in the CheckMate 067 trial, which was the ipi-nivo versus nivolumab combination trial, the serious adverse events went from approximately 15% in the nivolumab arm to about 50+% in the nivolumab plus ipilimumab combination. And that's a very high number because you're talking grade 3 or 4 adverse events. So these are hospitalization or serious adverse events in our jargon. Now, when people did looked at flipping the dose of nivolumab and ipilimumab, so when they did CheckMate 511, which was comparing Nivo 3 Ipi 1 to Nivo 1 Ipi 3, the adverse events, the serious adverse events now with the flip dose, with the lower dose Ipi, was in the 30 to 35% range. So compare that to the Relativity 047 trial, where the serious adverse events now are in the 20% range. So still higher than Nivo by itself, which is, remember, is in the 10 to 15% range, but it's much lower than you get with the ipilimumab plus nivolumab combos, either the flip dose combo, which is about 30%, or the regular dose ipilimumab combo, which is about 50 to 55%.
What are we seeing with regard to efficacy data for fianlimab plus imiplimab?
We're seeing very good efficacy. We are seeing in the 50 to 60% range. Remember, it's a phase one trial, so relatively small numbers of patients. And we're seeing a progression-free survival in the PD-1 naive population of 24 months, which is good, which is in excess of what is being seen with single agent PD-1 in the PD-1 naive population, which, remember, that is in the 6 month range for progression-free survival. So we are seeing a much higher progression-free survival than what you expect. But again, you're comparing a phase one trial to large randomized phase three trials, and so it's somewhat misleading to compare them in that way.
So, Dr. Dowd, what is the toxicity profile of these anti-LAG-3 antibodies?
In general, the toxicity of the anti-LAG-3 antibodies in combination with PD-1 is pretty similar to PD-1 by itself, except for the higher grade adverse events. So, for example, if you look at all grade toxicities, it's about 80% versus 70% for nivolumab by itself in the Relativity 047 trial. But if you look at just the high-grade treatment-related adverse events, it's about 21% versus 11% for nivolumab by itself. So compare that to 30% that you get for flip dose ipi-nivo, or compare that to about 50 to 60% that you get for regular dose ipilimumab in the CheckMate 067 trial.
Dr. Dowd, how are anti-LAG-3 combinations sequenced with both targeted therapy and other immunotherapies?
The biggest data set that we have on this is from this recent DREAMseq trial. And so that's a trial in patients with BRAF mutant melanomas, where patients were randomized to either getting BRAF inhibitor plus MEK inhibitor therapy with dabrafenib, trametinib, versus treatment with immunotherapy with ipilimumab and nivolumab. And what we can tell is, in that DREAMseq trial, the objective response rate up front was similar. It was 46% for the targeted therapy first arm versus 46% for the immunotherapy arm. But what was a big difference was that if you go to patients who progress on immunotherapy, you can still get a very good response rate with targeted therapy, but vice versa is not true. So in other words, if you progress on targeted therapy, you don't generally get a good response rate with immunotherapy. And ultimately, there was a benefit seen for starting with immunotherapy on the DREAMseq trial that was highly statistically significant for overall survival versus starting for targeted therapy. And we don't have data for LAG-3 in the upfront setting in patients who are BRAF mutant, but we do have very good data now for immunotherapy with ipilimumab, nivolumab in the upfront setting, not just from the DreamSeq trial that I just mentioned, but from another trial called SECOMBIT, which was done predominantly in Europe and looked at the combination of ipilimumab, nivolumab again, but then also looked at encorafenib, binimetinib as the targeted therapy arm. So again, that trial also shows that once you start looking beyond 24 months, you see a benefit for the immunotherapy arm in terms of progression-free survival and in terms of overall survival in versus targeted therapy first.
Well, thank you so much for your insights, Dr. Dowd. This wraps up the second podcast in our series. Please tune into our third podcast where we'll be discussing immune-related adverse events and how to mitigate them. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I would like to give a special thank you to Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, Inc., who provided an independent medical education grant for this activity. And thanks to all the listeners who have joined us.